Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
You're listening to the DJ New Style Show, you dick knob. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Ah, leave me alone, you know. Get off the phone, I got to play, man. I got a spit on my face. This mellow black chick's just put my spine out of place. Hey, man. My school is insane. Hey, man. My work's down the drain. Hey, man. She's a total blam blam. She said she had to squeeze it, but she and then she all on me, man. Cause you got all the tickets.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I hear it, don't be unkind, go away. Hey, man. I can't take this time, no way. Hey, man. Doogie, don't crash here. There's only room for one. Here she comes, here she comes. Oh, don't lean on me, man. Cause you can't afford the ticket. And from somewhere to see it. Well, don't lean on me, man. Cause you ain't got time to check it. You know my suffering can see it. It's out of sight.
Oh,
Style show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark, we proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homo didn't touch it.
You guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Hey, Donna! Did you shot the coffee yet?
Oh.
Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all. This is your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. Welcome to the DJ New Style Show, exclusively broadcast on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. And the only internet talk show preceded by Germans who set themselves ablaze. Who are those Germans? Where have you been? Rammstein!
Yeah!
Okay, I need to stop that. Thank you for tuning in. I really, really appreciate that. Listen carefully as I fade this out professionally, like the professional that I am. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. With me, as always, your friend, my friend, completely hairless due to genetics, Frank the Germ Freak. Frank, what's going on, buddy?
Good evening.
How are you? A little self-applause. That's good. Really humble of you.
Well, nobody else is going to give it to me.
That's true. You know what? Give them to yourself, Frank. Give yourself a little round of applause here. I'm joining in. Don't want to make you selfish. Don't want to make you conceited. Frank, it's been a week since we've done this fine show.
I thought we were the only show on Hear Us Talk. I haven't heard anything else in the last week or so.
You know what? Slackers. We're surrounded by slackers. And people who get ill. And people who get injured. We're basically... What was that? Is that a bell? Are you also sick and ringing for soup?
No.
Okay. Because that was the trick when you were home from school. You would be awarded a bell. You could ring and people would bring you things. But Frank, no, we are not sick. We are here doing a show as we tend to do 90% of the year. We say every week.
I think that's a good statistic.
I think it's a very good statistic. I'm going to go with percentages, completely ruin everything that I hate about percentages, and just say 90% of the year we're doing a show Tuesday nights. DJNewStyleShow.com if you want to download some of our finer shows and moments and subscribe to the podcast. And if you want to call in, the number is 316-768-4472. Frank, I trust since you are a romantic person at heart, you're a hopeless romantic, you are into love and things, that Sunday was your favorite day of the year, Valentine's Day. And I'm assuming that you did something. Did you do anything for Valentine's
Day? Yeah, I actually went out to dinner and saw a movie, actually.
Are you lying? Yeah. You actually went to to dinner and a movie?
Yeah, we went to dinner and went to a movie.
Now, did she like the movie?
Excuse me?
Donna.
She went to her mother's house.
So you just went to dinner and a movie by yourself on Valentine's Day?
Well... I was hoping you didn't bring it up. I went with somebody else.
You went with another person?
Yes, and she didn't know about it until now. Thanks.
So now I blew up your spot. You took obviously a friend.
Yeah.
So this, you didn't go out with Donna. You left Donna to her own devices. Why would you do that to your wife?
Hey, she wanted to go to her mother's, so screw her. You know, she left me home alone. She took the kids and went to her mother's, so I'll get back at her.
So who did you go with?
Ed McGrath.
Ed McGrath, joining us on the phone, 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ed McGrath, Frank's date on Valentine's Day.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Ed,
it was all that I hoped for,
right,
and more.
We saw the motion picture and utterly disappointed in the movie called... Avatar.
Don't move on to what you did. You guys went on a Valentine's date.
Oh, I apologize.
Do you understand?
Yes.
You're a married man. You have a wife.
Yes.
And you chose to go out with Ed the Whore Master McGrath.
Well, she went to her... She says, do you mind if I go to my mother's
Oh, she wanted out.
No. She wanted to visit her mother with the kids. I says, I don't care. Go.
Okay. Emmer.
Go.
So did you guys go halvesies on a hooker or something?
No, of course not. He had to do some business in the area, whatever the hell he does.
He had to circle a block a few times looking for a face that matched a Craigslist ad. So So you and Frank, Ed, you went out on a date. He took you to a movie and a dinner.
No, actually, you know what? It wasn't a date. We actually drove independently and met at the theater.
We were never in a car together, so that's
an
important
that's
point.
That's true.
Forgive me.
We want to make sure that we did things that would not quantify it as being gay.
Hmm.
So we didn't drive in the car together. We entered the building separately.
Forgive me for casting aspersions on your Valentine's Day date with Ed.
It wasn't a date.
It was a date. Frank, let me ask you something. Was there hand play involved?
No. No.
Ed, do you mean to tell me Ed didn't reach over? I have to believe Ed reaches over anytime he's at a movie theater.
Ed was a perfect gentleman.
Well, that's good. He didn't do the no popcorn trick, no reach around.
I stayed away from the popcorn just for that reason.
Did he fake yawn and go, me so sleepy, and put his face in your lap?
But he did piss me off because he has the bladder of a 3-year-old little girl. As soon as we get there, this place is pretty packed. So as soon as we get there, he gets in there. We sit, and we obviously we left this empty seat between us both, because like we said, we didn't want to do anything that would be partaken as gay. So that's
so you left the buffer seat.
Yes, and believe me, I have no problems with people of alternative lifestyles.
But that's just not your thing.
Right.
Some people like vanilla. You like strawberry. Some people like chocolate. You like getting a hand job from Ed while watching Avatar. So, it's to each his own. Different strokes.
So he goes.
Literally,
we sat in the middle, in the middle row, like in the middle section. As soon as we get our seats, he says, "I gotta go pee." Okay, Vel. First of all, come on. You couldn't have pissed when you left the house, and don't tell you gotta pee. You say a man says piss.
So you met up with Ed at the theater, and the first thing he has to tell you is that he has to. He said pee. He said
yes,
the word
pee. Yes, pee. And I felt a little awkward him saying pee.
That's a little.
Frank, let me ask you a question, Frank. What do you refer? What name do you use to refer to your genitals? Can you answer that question for me?
My ding-a-ling?
You do say
that's manly.
I've heard Frank say ding-a-ling, ding-dong. I've never heard him use like a clinical vocabulary. He's never said penis, not even schlong. No. But it's always something from a childhood, a childish vernacular.
And he's calling me a kid.
Yeah. Ed, you know what? It is a little. You just basically said half of pee pee. You understand? Saying I have to pee is a little bit. You know, it's a little bit childish.
Okay. Point taken.
Okay. I mean, there are some terms that are alternatives for the word for urinate, and that's what I say now. I say I have to urinate, and sometimes to be funny, I'll throw a few others in. But Frank, would you agree that? And I'm gonna give you a list here. You told me that this irritated you. I came up with a list of terms that I think should be retired at a certain age. You should never say this when you're intending to express that you have to urinate. Number one, pee. I'm 100% in agreement with you. Ed should not be saying pee at his advanced age. Also, wee. Some people say wee. I have to make wee or something like that. Whiz. Leak. Tinkle. Sprinkle. And lastly, Frank, you're guilty of this one. Squirt. You said I gotta go squirt. That's a little bit juvenile. It's nowhere near as good as urinate or piss. The acceptable ones that I'm willing to hear from another man.
How about leak?
Leak? No, I don't think so. It's over with. It's over.
Whatever
it's played
just
out.
Saying I'm going to the bathroom.
Because you don't know what they're gonna do. You need
but
to.
You why need, do you need to know?
Here's the deal, Frank. You tell someone what you're gonna do, so they can have some kind of idea as far as free time they're gonna have. You say, hey, I have to drop mud, I have to crap, I have to shit. They know, okay, I have anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. They say, hey, listen, I gotta piss. 30 seconds to 3 minutes. That's what it is. If someone's, I got to make water, Miss Daisy! you have 3 minutes. Because you can tell what he's doing. If someone tells you I have to masturbate in the public bathroom, again, 15 minutes or so. It's all about it's convenience to your friend. Ed was being nice by letting you know what he had to do. He just chose the wrong term.
What else did I ask, Frank?
One thing, Ed, before we continue. The acceptable terms. I want to put these out there, Frank, and I want to get your feelings about these. When someone says I have to piss, is that acceptable as an adult to say you have to piss? Let's say you.
It's acceptable as an adult, but it's acceptable as a man. It's manly to say you got to piss is manly. It's manly.
It
man,
is.
I gotta piss.
Yeah.
It's manly.
It's
however,
almost, it's almost like you're
adult,
spitting before you have to say that.
Right.
Yes.
An adult. I don't know if an adult should say that. You know, it's sort of like teenage-ish, but I don't say. I don't really use the word piss too often, and as you know, only until recently. Were you people allowed to say piss and pee on network television? It's only been in the last 10 years, my friend.
Our friend Jay Kling in the Pal Talk room is suggesting that people who say I gotta drain the lizard, you really it's moment
well,
has passed.
what
it's
I
terrible,
was,
and I agree. Never, it's completely
I never understood
awful.
That. I never understood that phrase. What I did, I reinvented that phrase, and I would say drain the snake. And the reason I say drain the snake, because a penis represents a snake more than a lizard, because your ding-dong doesn't have feet.
I blame – yes, my ding-dong does not have feet. That's right. I blame it all on Beavis and Butthead for popularizing the phrase spank the monkey. People were looking for the next way to refer to a penis as an animal. And have it be humorous. So I guess they ran out when they said when they likened your dick to a lizard. That's when it all hit, you know, bottom. And I guess a few people laughed at it. It got printed on a few Sobey caps. It's just terrible. Anybody who says that, it's over with. It's done. No good. So piss is masculine. Piss is acceptable.
Right.
I have a new one, Frank.
What?
I got to make yellow. I gotta make yellow. Or if you're from the South, like our buddy Walter Subcheck and his wife Erka Ducky, you could say, gotta make yeller. Gotta make yeller.
Don't forget Jen Jen.
That's it. And you know what? If you hear it from a woman, if you're into that kind of thing, best in show, Chris, I'm looking right at you. Hearing a girl say, gotta make yellow, might be the greatest thing you've ever heard. What about this?
He's got that fetish, doesn't he?
I'm going Poland Spring. What about
that's okay if you drink a lot of water and you have clear piss.
I'm going Poland Spring. I've had too much spring water. My piss is undoubtedly clear.
And that'll only work in the East, though. You can't go out to fucking California and say that. They'll look
true.
At you cockeyed.
I think anybody would look at you cockeyed. We're trying to start something new, though. We're trying to start something new that will eventually be on another list in a few years. I think Gotta Make Yellow might work for the next year. And then it'll be over with. So, Ed, you had to make yellow as soon as you met Frank.
We went and sat down, and we're all settled in. He's like, I got to go take a pee. Now he's got to fucking traipse through all the fucking people in the row. I'm like, why the fuck didn't you pee before you sat down, you fuck?
All two of them.
He says, I didn't. I said, why didn't you pee before you sit down? He says, I want to get my seat further. All
right, exactly.
So
I can't leave it to you to pick seats.
Listen to me.
In the front row.
He's fucking ridiculous with his fucking seats. He changed it three fucking times. But listen to me.
Oh, wait, so you went in there and Ed picked a seat and wasn't satisfied. Three times you had to hop around.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Now, do you want to discuss the movie or the end of the movie?
Let's discuss the movie. You saw Avatar.
We saw Avatar.
What? What'd you say?
Avatar.
Oh.
Total, one of the worst disappointments I've ever seen in my entire life. Just got off.
Are you serious? You were completely disappointed.
Fest.
Did you see it in the 3D?
Of course.
So IMAX. You saw this 3D movie.
IMAX as well.
IMAX 3D.
Yes.
And nothing interested you in the least.
15 minutes into the film, I was dozing and I texted Ed. I said, this is boring. And I
you texted somebody who's next to you?
I'm sorry. What did you text message me before it was boring? Please state that.
Well, after the first 5 minutes into it, I texted him. I says, I don't understand what's going on here.
Thank you.
So you didn't follow the story.
Well, let me tell you why I didn't understand it.
You didn't realize it took place on another planet.
The seat that was between us, the empty seat,
yeah.
The theater was so crowded that somebody actually ended up sitting there.
So, see, I knew it. I knew it.
So I had to sit next to a person I didn't know.
Why didn't you just move together?
I'm not going to do that. Okay.
But you came to the movies together.
Yes, but then...
You tried for the buffer seat and
failed. Do you
remember
the incident at the AC/DC concert? Remember the incident where we were sitting next to each other?
God, you guys go out together a lot, don't you?
Our legs touched.
Ed, when are you going to make an honest woman out of Frank, for Christ's sakes? Jesus. Nothing but dates.
The AC/DC thing was like a year and a half ago. But listen to me.
You've been dating quite a while.
I didn't understand. I didn't understand because what happened was as soon as that lady sat down, she was yapping with her husband who was on the other aisle. And I missed the whole fucking first... act. I missed the whole first fucking words of what the fuck they were talking about. I was lost. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Did you have?
So he said to me, his brother died. He's going on an assignment for his brother. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
I didn't understand this movie at all. I saw better special effects than Ghostbusters. It was awful.
Are
totally
you serious?
Overrated. Of course.
So floating mountains versus Stay Puft Marshmallow Man
and Zool and the dragon dog statue with the red flashlight eyes. Come on, Frank.
The story has been done 1,000 and
yes, one. The story's not why you enjoy the movie.
Exactly.
The entire thing, for the reason for seeing this movie is the effects. Everybody has been saying that.
Let me tell you a quick story. When I was about 12 years old or
you
or
saw 13, The Black Mariah, the first film ever made.
May I finish?
Okay, continue.
I don't know. There was a movie that came out in the early 80s called A Christmas Story. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah, I'm aware of it.
And this was the last movie I saw with my parents. And as I saw it with my parents, I was utterly embarrassed that I was with my parents seeing a movie. So I slid down on my chair so people wouldn't see me.
Yeah.
Same thing with this. I was mortified that I was watching this fucking fairy tale nonsense fantasy bullshit. I was embarrassed that I was watching horse people talk to each other.
What? It's embarrassing. Horse people?
Where were the horse people?
What movie were you at?
They had big noses like horse people.
Wow.
I was embarrassed. I said to myself, what am I sitting here for? This isn't true to life. This isn't real.
It was going to be a nonfiction?
Of course!
There are blue people on the movie posters!
I didn't pay attention
to that. Not everybody drinks colloidal silver and turns blue. Like, how is this something you thought was going to be real?
I was mortified that I'm sitting here, an adult man, approaching the age of 40. Watching this drivel.
You're very close to 40. You're not even you have your toe on the line.
111 days.
Whoa. If you want to see the timer, it's djnewstyleshow.com on the right. And while you're there, subscribe to the podcast. Thank you. So Frank, you were completely embarrassed.
I was embarrassed that I was there. I literally was saying to myself, "All right, I want to leave. I know Ed's not going to want to leave, so if I just hang out in the lobby for a couple hours, will that be so bad?" And then I just started dozing off, and I said to myself, all right, well, I could relax here and just doze off a little bit.
But you weren't impressed with, like, the CGI that they used for the blue people? And
the blue people were not CGI, my friend.
So you think they're real people? You think there are real 10-foot-tall people with 18-inch waists? What?
Ed told me the name of the female actress. Remember, you said she was Dominican or something?
Oh, my God, are you an asshole?
Ed, didn't you?
Frank,
well,
you hold
that's
on.
Not CGI, it's a real person.
No wonder you thought this was a terrible movie. You actually thought there were real actors in suits.
Well, suits and makeup.
Frank, these were people that had sensors on them to capture the motion. That's all. And they were rebuilt. They built those blue people out of. I can't believe you thought they were real fucking actors.
Are you saying that these things are digitally manufactured?
Yes. That's the fucking point. Oh my God, you didn't know that.
How come you could tell? You could make out who they were, who the actors were, and they were talking with real voices.
They modeled the expressions after the people that were being captured in the motion suits. It was created by a computer, Frank. Holy shit, you didn't know this.
I wasn't aware of that technology.
So you literally. You thought this was Harry and the Hendersons, just people running around in fucking suits.
Makeup. You ever hear of makeup?
Yeah, I've heard of makeup, Frank. But makeup isn't going to get everybody wanting to see your dumb movie. How many months has it been in theaters now? What, 4?
Well,
at this point?
CGI,
and sold out?
CGI to me is cheating. It's cheating, CGI. It's cheating.
Cheating.
Yes, it's cheating. The actors should be real actors in uniforms.
So the mountains should really be floating. Like, you're talking about actors being CGI.
Right. And they should have, I think it's cheating.
How many fictitious movies do you see a year? What was the last one that you saw before this? A movie that wasn't a work of fiction. That was a work of fiction.
Oh, what was the one he had the tantrum at? Because it wasn't in 3D.
Oh, Coraline.
Oh, that was I saw with my kids, so that was a different story.
Yeah, but you see, that's the excuse. There are adults that go to see Coraline, but he had his kids with him, so it was okay. Frank, what I'm getting at is you have no say of whether or not CGI should be used. You have zero say. You just found out that was CGI. You were completely fooled.
And he didn't realize it took place in the future, too.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't know that they were going in the future.
Yeah, they have present day robot suits that everybody wears.
Yeah, because they look like it's supposed to take place in what 2154 or something like that. But they look they look like people of today.
2154.
Right.
114 years. We're supposed to look like fucking monsters.
And what was the deal?
Or whatever it is.
Why did they go in this coffin box? What was the purpose of them? Did they have to? This was a different planet, correct?
Yes, it was a different planet.
So let me finish. So they got into this box, and what did they do? They had to be like forced to go to sleep in order for them to go into the other planet. I don't understand. How come some people had to go?
Holy shit! You don't understand one thing about the movie.
How come some people had to go?
Space travel.
You shut the fuck up. How come some people had to go in the box to go to the other planet, but the other people, like the bad guy, the army, they didn't have to go into the boxes to go to the other planet?
When they were... Let me ask you something, Frank. When they were on the other planet, what did they look like?
Who?
The bad guys.
Like regular people?
They were like themselves, right?
Right.
But the people that were in the boxes, sleeping, what did they look like when they were on the other planet?
Like the Avatar.
Oh!
So am I... All right, explain this to me. When they're sleeping, are they in a dream state, and that's how they go to the other?
I gotta tell you, Frank. This is the most basic element to the fucking storyline, such that the entire movie is named after this.
How do they go from the box to the planet? Is that box like a
spaceship? I don't fucking know. I didn't design it.
Is it stable or does it fly or are they dreaming this? Is it just a dream?
Holy shit. It's a box and they stay in it. I mean, you didn't watch the movie, did you? You watched none of it.
I did, but I didn't understand it.
So you need to see it again. You need to go and watch it again. You need to pay... How much was it again?
$18.
You need to drop another $18 and go watch it again. You didn't like the effect, so go watch it in regular 2D. Pay a little less. Or wait for it to come out on DVD. I mean, you kept your glasses, right? I mean, everybody...
No, well, you have to give them back. What the hell am I going to do with them?
Well, they were individually wrapped.
No, they wasn't.
What? No, they wasn't?
No. I had a, wow. They were. And not only that, but the guy handed them to me. That's even worse. I would have at least liked to take them from the rack myself, but this guy with his fucking finger. So I took out my Purell wipes and wiped them down.
So wait a minute. Who handed you the glasses?
The usher.
The usher was there? And he gave you glasses? Did he say yeah and dance? So he just handed them to you, and from what? Like a receptacle?
They were in like
a bag or something,
like a crate, like a plastic crate of some sort.
Oh, okay. And when you gave them back to him, where did he put them?
No. Well, you put them in like a barrel of some sort.
Yeah. And then they empty that barrel into the crate and they give them to the next people.
No.
Frank, you were wearing somebody else's face grease.
I think they sterilize those things.
They don't fucking sterilize.
Of
they barely
sterilize.
They barely sweep
them in some kind of solution.
In what?
A solution.
Are you trying to sound scientific?
Listen to me. When I was a child in wood shop in seventh grade,
yes.
We had goggles. And after you're done with the goggles, the shop teacher would put them in this cabinet and flick this switch and it would sterilize them.
Oh, we never did that. We would just put them in the cabinet and leave the cabinet open. They were never, I'm pretty sure they were never cleaned.
You mean to tell me they don't clean those glasses?
They never clean those glasses. No, we put the shop goggles into the shop. You think they have some rigged up
disinfection? I saw him put the thing on. I saw him put it on and it made a sound. It cleaned them.
Oh, it did? Okay, well, we didn't have that where we were from. We basically had a toy box full of goggles. And you'd reach in and you'd see, oh, these are the green clear ones. And these are the ones that don't have sides. They look like sunglasses that would allow a nail to fall into my head. 316-768-4472. You're on with Germ Freak and Ed the Whoremaster McGrath. Who's this?
This is Gambit.
Gambit, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. Does Frank know that Uranus Daryl and that chances are the shop teacher was just bringing them into his office to piss on them?
That's right. Thank you very much, Gambit. Yeah, he probably just pissed all over the glasses. That's what he did. So anyway, Frank, I'm letting you know that the glasses you got were dirty. They were individually wrapped.
Oh my god!
And I kept them.
You're not supposed to keep them.
Well, I kept them. So what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do about it, Frank? individually wrapped. I kept them, and you know what? It's gonna,
were they hard plastic or like those things you get at 7-Eleven?
They looked like 50s nerd glasses. They looked like clear Ray-Bans. They were pretty pretty sturdy pair. They right. And they folded and everything. They had.
And what'd you do with the? What did most people do with them? Put them in like a barrel or something.
They put them back right in a garbage can. Then I saw them urinate in and then put into a crate. So maybe that's what you're talking about when you say they pulled them out of a crate.
Listen, I used a wipey on them anyway. So what the hell? What's the difference?
Used a what?
A wipey, a Purell wipey.
Ed, do you know what a Purell wipey is?
Yes, I do actually, because I do have some.
A wipey?
I wouldn't call it that.
Yeah.
I would probably drop off the IE at the end of it, and I'd call it a wipe.
Well, you envision that as an IE. Frank, how do you spell wipey?
W-I-P-E-Y.
Of course. Ed, I-E words, no good. No good. Wipey? Frank, you're 40 years old. It's a wipe. It's a whatever. Wipe.
I cleaned it,
You're describing it like it's something your kid should use to get sketty sauce off their fucking cheeks. Get a wipey! So you wiped them with that. You didn't like the movie. You absolutely hated it.
I thoroughly disappointed.
Good.
Thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly disappointed.
And did you notice the previews? Did you see any of the previews?
The previews I thought were better than the fucking movie.
Did you notice
one? Look, the 3D was great. It was a spaceship movie of some sort.
Oh, a spaceship movie in 3D. I would never have guessed. It seems like a lot more movies are coming out in 3D now. Did you notice that?
Correct.
Movies that don't need to be in 3D are coming out in 3D, like Shrek. I mean, do you really care? Are you? Is the fact
kids enjoy it?
The kids enjoy 3D.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'll tell you something else the kids enjoy. They enjoy Ed, and they enjoy hearing Ed talk about In-N-Out. Ed, how's your In-N-Out tonight?
I'm in New Jersey right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were in.
Speaking of burgers.
Oh.
After the movie, we went to get some food.
So you said that you went out to dinner, but really, you just got hamburgers.
We went to a very fancy, upscale burger place called Blitz Burgers. You've heard of it.
I was there, Frank. I was there to the very same place.
Right.
Now,
right.
I know, we all know how I felt about Blitz Burger. Dreadfully average. Borderline forgettable. Not tasty, really. I mean, decent, but not that great. Ed, you went to Blitz Burger.
Give us your honest opinion, Ed.
Now, Ed, your number one burger is located where?
My number one burger is the place I took to Frank. It is called Poker Short in the Bronx. Excuse me?
It's in the Bronx, was it?
And it's called Piper's Kilt.
Piper's Kilt. And then you also put in the top five the Brooklyn Diner Burger.
Yes, I would.
Okay. Now,
that I agree with Frank.
You went to Blitz Burger with Frank. Frank thinks this is the cat's meow.
I never said it was the best.
You said it was great, and it wasn't.
I said it was my top five. I never said the best.
We had some goddamn
Ed,
fucking crack addict waitress. Okay, Ed, your honest review. Go ahead. Tell us about Blitz Burger right now.
The fries were good.
Didn't get any fries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I put it a half notch above a burger you'd get at Chili's.
Wow. Wow, Frank, that's pretty bad.
Whatever, I don't care. I don't have stock in the company. He can think what he wants.
You just have shit taste, is what that means.
No, he's the one who's got shit taste.
You presented this like you were coming
out
of
so much ass.
You were coming.
Excuse me, what?
I think you're eating ass going to your fucking taste buds, man. Because your fucking taste buds taste like shit.
Oh my god, that was funny. I'm sorry, that was pretty funny.
No ass affected the taste buds.
Just leave that alone. Frank, you presented this Blitz Burger on a silver platter, and then you took the lid off, and you said, taste. And you expected such rave reviews, and nobody that you've done this to has been in agreement with you. It's a fucking middle-of-the-road, humdrum piece of shit. But then again, well, Frank, now do you trust Ed more than you trust me?
I don't really give a shit about either of them.
I gave a thorough review.
You gave a different review at the place than you did on the program, okay? Because you don't like to give me the satisfaction. That's why.
At the place, I had just had it. Now time has removed me from it. I don't long for the burger. Therefore, the burger is shit. The burger I had in Seattle was incredible, and I would have one tomorrow. Red Mill, if you're in Seattle. Look it up. Incredible.
One down.
There you go. And I would eat it tomorrow if I could, but I can't. I can easily get the Blitz Burger, and I actually, I've changed my route so that I never have to pass it again. I've updated my GPS, and I've removed all roads around it, so I don't even have to see it. It's that terrible.
Oh, so, the atmosphere was awful, too. It looked like a fucking old Chinese. I thought I was going in for Chinese food.
Yeah, it's like trying to be a coffee house. You walk in, there's a goddamn, they called it a Java bar or some shit. I just want burgers and fucking fries.
Muzak playing? Yeah. Oh, it was awful.
Yes.
First of all,
I appreciate the Muzak because sometimes. Now listen, I'm a lover of classic rock and roll and stuff like that. But I'm a little offended when you go to a place of business and they're playing hard rock. It offends me.
It does.
It's not what people want to listen to when they're enjoying their meal.
What if it's a real rockin' burger though? Is there any music? Like, give me an example of a hard rock.
I went to a diner. I went to a diner near me, and they were playing AC/DC, and I was a little taken. Now I love AC/DC, but it's not what you want to play at a diner. Would you agree with that?
It's elevator music at this point. Frank, we've all heard it a million times. It's not like it's the devil's music. It's not the devil's sound anymore. It's not, you know, edgy or anything like that. So it's completely suited for fucking department stores and elevators and doctors' waiting rooms and every other fucking thing where you're bored out of your goddamn mind.
Listen to me. I'm not talking about AC/DC Muzak. I'm talking about the real AC/DC.
Of course.
Whatever.
If you want blood. Okay, maybe you shouldn't play that at a fucking blood drive. Or, you know, some kind of fucking lecture on anemia or something. But I mean, you could play that anywhere. No one's gonna care.
The song "Big Balls." Do you ever hear that song?
No one listens to that. No one enjoys listening to "Big Balls." It was shocking, probably, when you heard it the first two times. Oh wow!
Two.
Yeah, once maybe. But then again, I digress. So you spent your Valentine's Day with Ed, not with your wife. Your wife wanted out.
We were done, you know, very early, and then I spent the rest
Do you ever do anything for her on Valentine's Day, or do you think less of
every
a person?
Every day is Valentine's Day for me, my friend.
See, you just completely didn't know what to say at the end of that. My friend. Every day is Valentine's Day, my friend.
I think it's totally, you know, if you want to talk about gay, I think it's gay to do special things on Valentine's Day.
You think that's gay?
Of course!
How is that gay?
Because don't make it into a...
You just got done saying every day was Valentine's Day for you.
Right, you should treat every day
as if Cupid is perched on your shoulder, just firing arrows at everybody you smile at.
You should treat every day as Valentine's Day when you have a significant other.
So why'd you get her a card?
Yeah. You never get her a card. You always say, she gets whatever she wants. Let her do it.
I have to get her a card, otherwise I'll get the business.
And what have you ever gotten the business?
Of course, I'm getting the business tonight.
You're getting.
But I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, I understand. I understand. You're in the doghouse, so to speak.
Ah, who gives a fuck? I don't give a shit.
Oh, wow, you know she listens to the show. You do.
Better listen. How's your tea there, Missy?
What happened?
How's your tea, you little tart?
What happened to her tea?
Let's just say I put some type of substance in it before she drank
what?
It.
You drugged her tea?
Whatever.
What? Are you fucking kidding me? What did you put in the tea?
I just over poured some type of liquid in there, that's all.
What color was the liquid?
Yellow.
You made yeller in her tea?
No, it's not urine. I just poured about a half a maybe about an ounce or two of real lemon juice in her tea.
Shit. But that's not that bad though. Did you think you were getting away with something? People do that on a regular basis.
But not a quarter of the cup being lemon juice.
Jay Kling thought it was going to end up being Spanish fly. Jesus Christ. So you're having a bit of a tiff, so you basically poisoned her.
No, I didn't pour. I just put some lemon juice in there. That's all.
But
anyway,
what the listeners don't know is she's allergic to lemon. So Frank actually tried to kill his wife today.
No, she's not. No, she's not.
Oh, she's not?
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
Let's continue. I don't want to.
I'm sorry. Hey. I'm sorry, Frank.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jimmy. So, Ed, your impression of Avatar, real quick.
I liked it. I thought it was very good. I, the story was a little bit better than I thought, even though I do agree with Frank.
It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible.
It was better than I thought it would be. Sure. And I thought the effects were second to none.
So far. Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, I agree. And Frank, I have to say, I went to the movies as well on Sunday.
What'd you see?
I didn't go with one of my guy pals.
What'd you see?
Amanda and I went to
for who's Amanda?
Amanda's my girlfriend. On Valentine's Day, my girlfriend Amanda and I went to a movie, and we cooked dinner. And do you want to guess which movie we saw on Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day.
So you're saying that we went and saw Valentine's Day?
Yeah, it's
the movie that Amanda really, really wanted to see on Valentine's Day, which is titled Valentine's Day. You're saying that we saw that?
Absolutely.
Fuck that. We saw Wolfman. We went and
Benicio del Toro?
We went and saw Wolfman. She really wanted to see Valentine's Day. I told her that the reviews were very bad, which they were. But what I didn't tell her is that the reviews for Wolfman were equally as bad. And rightfully so.
Do you really go by reviews?
You know, Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, you know, just to get a gauge of if I know nothing about a movie and I want to see a movie, I'll go and I'll look at that. So we went and saw Wolfman, and Frank, I have to tell you, a movie about werewolves where two werewolves fight each other, how the fuck do you screw it up so fucking much that it's the most boring piece of shit I've ever seen? They have a fucking a Wolfman versus Wolfman fight scene. I can't even envision a scenario where it's this fucking bad. It was so far. They had a little too much love story in this. Too many longing looks and zoomed in glances and promises and oh, if onlys. All those oh, if onlys exchanged between a human formed werewolf and a woman who they showed some side boob. I did enjoy the side boob and the werewolf fights, but the thing is, they made the werewolves look the same, so you didn't know who was who when they were fighting.
Did the werewolf meet the same fate as Lon Chaney Jr. in the original Werewolf?
I'm not sure. What happened to Lon Chaney Jr.?
Oh, well, he died.
How?
You're
asking me, I don't know the fate, and you're just saying he died.
Oh, I thought you saw the original Wolfman.
I didn't see the original Wolfman.
Oh.
Well, I'll tell you.
He got shot with a silver bullet, I think.
You know, anybody who's looking to see Wolfman, you might want to fast forward a little bit. Unless you're listening live. And you can't. So I'm ruining this. Yes, he dies at the end.
Of course!
Of course!
Don't you think Benicio Del Toro looks a little... No, looks a little like Brad Pitt in the face a little bit?
No, he's... I'm looking at this and I'm thinking Mo from the Three Stooges is fucking holding a town at bay for three scenes. He really looks like one of the goddamn... And I think he was even cast to play Mo. Mo Howard. And you think he looks like Brad Pitt?
He looks a little like Brad Pitt.
Do you realize that we are bordering on the gayest show ever if we decide to compare guy celeb faces? Do you really think he looks like Brad Pitt?
Then color me gay. What can I say?
I don't have to. God already did by removing your hair.
Now here's the. Now just to, we. I want to conclude this. Movie thing we went to.
I'm sorry. I didn't know there was more to this.
He paid for the movie.
What? Ed, is this true?
Yes.
You bought Frank a ticket.
Yes.
But I paid for the burger.
So which ended up being more?
He probably got screwed.
Yeah.
But I paid another time for a late night. When we went to Jeff's for his show, we went out to a diner afterwards, me, Jeff, and him, and I paid
Frank,
for that whole thing.
Frank, three dates.
Get it. $10 to go over a fucking bridge in this fucking area.
Three
you
dates.
You said it was five last
Frank,
time.
Three dates. You haven't given it up yet. I don't know.
He can keep
know.
It.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Ed.
Thank you.
You know, I appreciate it. You kept my co-host company on Valentine's Day. Very, very good. It's completely, you know, it's a very 2010 thing to just take your guy pal.
Hey, Ed, the chocolates were great, by the way.
What?
Oh, nothing.
You gave him chocolates?
Just gave me like a little heart one.
Well, that's completely
acceptable. I'm kidding, you fucker!
No, the thing is, I don't know. You could tell me that he rimmed you, and I would be unable to tell if that was a lie.
No, we made sure it was not gay. We did all the precautions.
You made sure to use dental dam so you didn't actually have contact. Oh, well. Anyway, Ed, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for calling the show.
Frank, I'll call you later.
All right. Look forward to it.
Okay, very good. Very, very good. Frank, are you aware that there's some very, very devastating news in regards to the field of 80s music, of which you are an expert?
I am aware of it.
I am aware.
Okay. Actually, it was 1979, actually. I think you're referring to the Knack.
Got a lot of play in the 80s.
The lead singer, unfortunately, passed away on Valentine's Day.
Wow.
And what I didn't realize, Doug Figer, by the way. Figer?
Oh, they said Fagger. No. Didn't know. Okay.
But wait, let me. I didn't know this, but do you remember Dr. Kevorkian?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, his attorney. Do you remember his attorney?
No. Who was his attorney?
Jeffrey Figer.
No, I don't.
He would go on interviews with him. Well, he was actually the brother of Jeffrey Figer, which I found pretty interesting. But you know, whatever.
And now he's dead.
The lead singer, yeah, he passed away.
Well, we're going to take a break here on the DJ New Style show. On Hear Us Talk, that's hearustalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. And I think during the break, we'll play a very fitting tribute that you had done a while back for Mr. Figert and his band, The Knack. No burping. The DJ New Style Show on Hear Us Talk. Thing you do with your ears, place to be. Thank you.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
Next up, it's Germ Freak Radio! That's gay. That's so fucking corny. I'm embarrassed I even said that. All right, calm down. Okay. Okay, ladies and... What's that? Oh. Okay. The following song reached number one... Oh. Okay. The following song reached number one in... The following song reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1979. The original song, Games... Okay. The following song reached number one on the Hot Billboard 100 in 1979. The song gained... Ah! The original... I'm playing with them extra! Give me a second! Please, I'll be there in a minute! All right, okay. I'll be there in a second, okay? Don't get nasty. Don't get sassy with me. The following song reached number one. Fuck! I'm all flustered. The following song reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1979. It gained some attention in 2005 when it appeared on the playlist of United States President George. Fuck! The following song reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100. In 1979, the song gained some attention in 2005 when it appeared on the playlist of President George W. Bush. It's The Knack with My Sharona.
Come a little closer. DJ New Style Show. The DJ New Style Show. Radio Bronze.
Yeah. Yo, what's up? It's your boy Sony from 10th and Diamond. You listening to the DJ New Style Show. You know what I mean?
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. DJNewStyleShow.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Download everything we've ever done. Why? Because it would just be nice. Listen, I don't mean to impose. I'm just saying it'd be cool. Okay, listen. It would be... Just hear me out. It would be nice. Are we going to do this forever? Please, just give it a shot. DJNewStyleShow.com. Jeez, God. Frank, do you know what I need to talk about right now? Do you know what I'm excited and just amped up to tell you about?
Would it have to do with award-winning software?
Of course! Course! I see you, too. Frank, what's the website?
I see you... And the number two.
ICU, the number 2.com. It's award-winning software. Last year's winner of the People's Choice Award for Internet Communication. Sure, think about it. There's a ton of video and chat services out there, but ICU2 has been around longer than all of them. Do the math! Simply download ICU2 to your Windows PC. Believe me, they're coming up with a Mac version very soon. You can do it on your Mac very, very soon. But for right now, they say, you know, just fucking wait. Get a goddamn Windows PC. Try it out. ICU, the number 2.com. And within seconds, you're face-to-face with people from all over the world. Now, Frank, let's do a quick geography lesson. I download ICU2. I install it on my Windows PC. Someone in Brazil has ICU2. Am I face-to-face with them?
Yep.
Argentina?
Of course!
Chile?
You bet.
Greece?
Why not?
Iran.
Of course.
No, not really, because Iran has just blocked everything. But every other country, except China and Iran, every other country, you can
it's
be
Iran.
Face... Okay, and Thailand. You will be... And Antarctica, because there's no people there. You will be face-to-face with them if you get ICU2. That's ICU, the number 2.com. Go there, click download, try it today. I try it. I try it every day, Frank. Do you try it?
Absolutely, I
love it. Course! Course! Speaking of web and video, Frank.
Oh.
Our buddy.
Right.
Our friend, our pal.
Well, I think we should go back a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go back.
Well, there's an individual. He goes by the name of Ken Moorhead.
Ken Moorhead.
He's a mixologist extraordinaire.
He is.
An entrepreneur, if you will.
Yes. He is the host of Modern Alchemy.
And
you,
right.
And you can see it on KenMoorhead.com. That's KenMoorhead. Right. .com. He chose the name Modern Alchemy despite my suggestion of one more round. Okay, it sucked. Modern Alchemy with Ken Moorhead. Yes. What did he do, Frank?
A few months ago, he stole one of my copyright trademarked words, which was spiciness. And,
yes.
And I called him out on it. He came on the show here, and I said, listen, I said, you can utilize the word spiciness if you make a drink and name it after me. So after a few months, lo and behold, he unveiled the Germ Freak on his last episode.
Now, you would say this is what he does. This is his creative outlet. This
Absolutely.
Is the thing that he has his name attached to, correct?
Absolutely.
So it should be a pretty big fucking deal when Ken Moorhead comes out with an original creation.
This is his first original
this
creation,
by the way. This is his first original creation. He makes drink recipes now. He has a recipe that he's created that he is called the Germ Freak. Let's take just a quick listen to his video on KenMoorhead.com. Just a quick one.
Hey, everybody, what's up? I'm Ken Moorhead. This is KenMoorhead.com. It's been too long since we made a drink together.
Sure
Welcome
has.
Back. Thank you for joining me. Things have just been incredibly busy to start the year. My master's program is taking off. I'm loving it. Things are going well there. I am job hunting currently, so if you're from Compendium Blogware and you see this... Hi, I'm Ken.
I'm sorry, what was that, Frank?
Get on with the fucking drink!
He's, you know...
Let me guess, he's going to mention Cripple Creek Barbecue.
You know he does. It never fails. Every time he's doing something for us, hey, listen, just want to take a quick second, talk about Cripple Creek and their awesome barbecue sauce. I tried this one. I didn't try. Come on! Where's the props? Where's the prop? And this one's all Frank. There's no, I don't think he says the word Ken if it's not followed by Moorhead. Shit. Well, you know what? I'm going to come out with a line of barbecue sauces. Maybe then Ken Moorhead will fucking talk about me. Here we go.
Hoping to hear from you guys soon, but if anything else, be making drinks with you. Today, I am making my first original drink.
There it is.
It's called The Germ Freak. It's to Frank of the DJ New Style Show. Frank and I had a disagreement several months back over my use of the word spiciness here on the blog. Apparently that word is copyrighted to Frank, and in return for my infringement upon said copyright, I had to make a drink called the Germ Freak. So that's what we're doing today. Let's go ahead and get into it. For this, I have made a special infusion of ginger vodka along with Soho Lychee liqueur, and we're going to be using the dry vermouth and then Angostura and Peychaud bitters, along with some fresh squeezed lime juice. Getting right into it.
He's mixing it up. He's trying it out. Whoa!
What the hell was that?
Oh, he's too excited. Frank, he's just too excited. He's dropping glasses all goddamn day.
See how excited he is over the germ freak?
You see? He's dropping glasses. He's mixing the drinks, Frank, and eventually he tries it out. He shakes it, gives it a couple shakes. And this is him towards the end of the video. He's getting ready to try it out.
Smooth. 3/4 ounce lime juice. About 1 whole lime, 2 dashes each, Angostura and Peychaud bitters. And let's go ahead. And
gives it a sniff.
With this one,
And may I note, a cautionary sniff. He smells this thing, he has no idea what the hell it is he's about to smell. Joining the show, 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who's this?
This is Ken. What's up, DJ?
Oh, Moorhead. Mr. Moorhead himself!
The host of Modern Alchemy, Ken Moorhead. I want to say, first of all, thank you for shouting out Cripple Creek Barbecue as you announced the brand new drink, the Germ Freak.
You're very welcome. I want to make sure everybody but Frank gets mentioned in that process.
Oh, Frank got mentioned. I did not. I know you're not making a DJ New Style drink because it would pretty much just be piss in a snifter. But I have to. I watched you make this drink, and I'm kind of excited to give it a shot here.
Now, Ken Moorhead.
Yes, Frank.
What's in a Tom Collins?
Frank, that was the first drink I did on my website. That's gin, lemon juice, sugar, and soda.
All right, Frank.
Let me tell you what you've evolved in. Okay. Before, when you were making drinks that have already been made, you were what I call a cover artist. Okay, you are now an original composer making your own drinks.
Absolutely is.
Wow. Thank you very much.
Now, listen, I watched the entire episode, and I watched you make it. You know, I watched you sip it. I watched a little bit of a facial expression.
You kind
of
smirked. You didn't know what to make of it.
A little bit of an expression. But you never divulged whether you liked it or not, and that's what I was a little alarmed about. I'm assuming that you weren't what was your verdict on that? You never said on the show whether you liked it or not.
Oh, I love it actually. I love it. I've made it for some friends, and so, they all love it.
Wow, it's a big hit. So Ken Moore, you love the Germ Freak?
Yes.
Wow, Frank, you hear that? You might have a date for next Valentine's Day. Don't let Ed call.
Now, let me ask you, being a mixologist, is there a place that you could publish a new drink? I mean, are there places that you can say, hey, listen, I want people to use this drink from now on? I mean, what's the deal with that?
That's an interesting question, and that's something I'm actually working on right now, what kind of licensing issues are associated with that so I can sell them to restaurants.
Wow.
So I don't have the answer for that yet.
Now, where'd your fascination – now, you're a young fella, right? You're like in your early 20s. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. I'm 23. Okay.
What is your fascination with alcohol? When did it start?
in the womb.
Were you an alcoholic at one time? How did it all start? When did you get involved
now,
in alcohol?
Hold on, Ken, because you just called him an alcoholic again. You did this on Twitter. We patched things up. He kind of insinuated that the guy was an alcoholic.
Endearment. He likes alcohol, so he's an alcoholic. But anyway, what's your fascination with alcohol? When did you start drinking alcohol? How old were you? Be honest.
I was 19, actually.
Wow. That sounds illegal.
Now, what? In 4 years, you've become an expert in alcoholic beverages and the combinations thereof. Why the fascination? What's the deal with that? Please bring it to the forefront.
To the forefront. honestly,
stop hiding these yearnings that you have.
I grew up watching Cheers with Ted Danson? Is that who it is?
Yeah. So you didn't really pay too much attention to the show that
so
you,
your influence
you're claiming
was
your influence.
Picking off. Fucking beverage. Is that what you're trying to say?
Norm didn't make them, you asshole.
Sam, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam Malone.
What was his last name in the show, by the way?
I know.
Sam Malone.
Oh, okay.
Of course!
So anyway, so you did that, so that's how you got it, and you taught yourself everything pretty much, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I have an important question. Ken Moorhead, did you lose faith in your inspiration when Woody became the bartender?
I was so young when the show was airing. I don't have that much recollection of it. Most of what I've seen has been syndicated
my
broadcast.
My inspiration for talk radio was Jack Benny. I've never actually heard Jack Benny. But he's my inspiration.
Nice.
Thank you. So
that at least sounds better than like Dick Clark or something.
Yeah, it certainly does. So you made a drink for Frank. Is there going to be there was something that you were saying that you were going to be able to deliver samples of this drink in the near future?
Is this something
you're toying with?
Explain this. Basically, I have found they are refillable Capri Sun pouches.
Okay.
So effectively, that would make shipping it a lot easier because there's no glass involved. I just fill the pouch and ship it.
Frank, he's going to send you a Capri Sun
now,
package.
Is shipping alcoholic beverages legal?
In most states, yes.
So let's say, Frank, that he delivers a Capri Sun package of the Germ Freak to your house. Is this something? Are you going to trust him enough to drink this beverage?
Well, I mean, you stick your dick in the package before you bring it and send it over to me, are you?
No, I'm not going to do that.
Well, he would just stir. He would stir the glass before putting it in the package. He would actually teabag the fucking martini
and
glass.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Moorhead. When you sip your beverage for the first time, do you ever use one of those cocktail straws?
No.
Why not?
Those are for stirring. Not.
But yeah, you could drink from them, can't you?
Well, you could drink out of a fucking moose's skull, but you don't see many people doing that.
Exactly. Frank.
But they're stirs. But a lot of people will sip their first taste through that stir. Would
no
you
one
agree
does.
With that?
Shut up, Frank. No one does that.
I do it.
Well, because you don't know how to do anything. We need. We're going to try and class you up. Get you some.
Are you saying that you've never seen people do that before?
Yeah, and they all look like assholes.
Sipping from
the tiny straw.
You ever take the stirrer out and then lick the end of the stir?
Frank, you're an asshole. And you know what? I'm going to expose you right now, Frank. Ken, you feel the support that he gives you. He retweets your videos. He tells everybody to watch, and he's very proud of what you do. He's a big fan. But let me tell you something that is discussed when we talk about a new video of yours. He pointed it out to me. I said, oh, that's really cool. I watched it. I said, you know, it was a great video. He seemed to, you know, have a little bit of energy. He was excited to get back to doing it. He goes, yeah, I don't know. I think he should maybe edit the videos a little bit. He should probably do a better job editing. That's what he said to me.
No, I didn't say.
You
I
said
didn't,
he needed to do I a better because, job editing.
I says because he dropped the glass, and I says, I'm surprised. I didn't think he'd keep that in, but I like the fact that he kept it in because it brings
such
the realness of the video.
Such a fucking liar you are.
You're a fucking liar.
You're a backpedaler is what it is. I thought the reality of the mistakes was what made the video, you know, good. I thought that was part of it that made it really
good.
Are
you filming that in your dorm room?
No, I'm at home.
Yeah.
I'm okay. With my parents currently.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I feel your pain.
Not like Kim until recently, so, you know.
Well, I'm still there, actually.
And how do your parents feel about your love for alcohol?
It's not something they're really into, but they don't have a problem with it.
Is your room just covered in, like, bottles of alcohol?
No. I have a cabinet.
Oh. Did you ever have some kind of a fantasy of juggling bottles, like in Cocktail, the movie?
Yes. When I was bartending, that was something I was practicing quite a bit.
And that's something you really, really like?
Not the juggling part of it, no.
I think you should probably try doing that on one of your videos, just to see how much skill you have left.
Oh, God.
And just put this song on, and just really let it rock. This is Ken Moorhead, Modern Alchemy. I'm going to be tossing some bitters.
Wow.
You know, you don't think that would be good for the brand? Not a good brand. Not a brand building experience.
No.
Okay, well, I don't think you should. But we really appreciate you making your first beverage, your first creation, a reference to our show. That really makes us happy.
I'm very happy to.
I encourage everybody to go to kenmoorhead.com. And purchase or steal all of these liquors and make this beverage for yourself.
I look forward to it. Now, did you try a lot of different combinations? Was there a lot of testing involved, or was this your first mix?
The idea was my first attempt for the Germ Freak. I just had to tweak it a little bit after I think I had down in like two or three attempts.
Mm-hmm. Pretty all good. Right,
very good.
The spiciness.
Well, listen.
The spiciness was truly brought,
yeah,
I think. With the Germ Freak. Ken Moorhead.
It is a spicy drink.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I look forward to tasting it.
We know what we're going to do is we're going to get our hands on all the ingredients and mix it.
And make our own.
And make our own. And record a video on the Heroes Talk YouTube channel, youtube.com/Heroes Talk. And maybe Frank will actually enjoy something in life.
That would be great. I think Frank should enjoy more of life.
I think he should.
Thank you, Mr. Moorhead.
He's not doing a good job with it. But thank you very much, Ken Moorhead. That's twitter.com/KenMoorhead, MOORHEAD, and also KenMoorhead.com. Thank you very much, Ken.
Thanks, guys.
And you know what? Maybe you'll go a little lighter on the Cripple Creek mentions when you're talking about us. You know, really, I know you like barbecue sauce. He makes a damn fine souse. I'm sure he does. Has a good business. But you're talking about the Germ Freak right now. I'm just fucking with you. KenMoorhead.com. Thank you very much for calling in, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Oh, so, oh, I cut him off.
Why would you say that?
Why would I say what?
About the editing.
South?
That was a private conversation I had with you, and now you're telling me.
I mean, you said the guy's videos were Bush League. That's what you said.
Fuck you.
No, I'm just
you're
fucking.
Such a fucking liar.
I'm just fucking.
You're
he never
a
said
fucking
that.
Liar.
No one ever
I
said that.
I enjoy him. I literally enjoy him. I like watching him.
Every time he releases a new one, I watch it.
Of course.
Of course. I think it's good. Because I don't know. I'm impressed by these people that can remember these recipes and can put it together. I mean, granted, you know, the simpler drinks, obviously, Tom Collins, you know, vodka and tonic, not a big feat.
He will always be employed.
But to know that you need two dashes of Peychaud bitters.
And Agastor bitters.
Yeah, bitters.
Well, the thing with Ken Moorhead is he will, just like you will always be, you could work anywhere because you have knowledge of, you could be like a computer tech guy, he will always be employed because he could always be a bartender.
Whereas you are living on the edge.
Exactly.
You are on the, yeah.
Let me tell you something. I had an experience today, and it left a bad taste in my mouth.
I thought that happened on Sunday with you and
no.
Ed.
I went to my favorite coffee establishment.
Was that Starbucks?
Yes. I hate to say because we mentioned them a thousand
times. You know
what?
We need to be paid for Starbucks. You know, yes. Starbucks, come on, a little bit of money.
Okay. And I ordered my beverage, and I feel very uncomfortable when workers are complaining about their job as I'm standing there. Like, I don't think workers should be complaining in front of customers of the job. Do you? Do you feel
so that maybe this is the scenario? You go in there, and there's I got a beard or 10.
Yeah.
I got a clothes.
This girl's like, oh, I want to go home. I don't want to be here. She's complaining that her nose ring hurt. She was hugging a male employee on the, so that other people, the customers can see it.
And what is her job
she
title?
She was texting.
What was her job title?
A barista.
Oh, you said it right. Wow.
Of course.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to second guess you. So she's hugging other coworkers.
Yeah, she's
texting.
She's a male
picking
coworker.
At her facial piercings and shit.
She was picking her nose ring.
Ah.
She kept moving it around. She was texting while she was making my beverage. And I'm going to goddamn complain. I got the phone number for the retail customer relations Starbucks.
You're
going
to
complain about them tomorrow. I'm going to call and complain.
Okay. Maybe we'll record that.
You don't do this in front of customers. It makes us feel like we're burdening you. It makes us feel like we're unwanted.
But what
I don't want to feel that way.
You don't want to feel unwanted. Frank, did she make a mistake with the beverage?
Actually, the beverage was very, very good.
So then what's the point?
There's more to Starbucks. There's more to a retail establishment or any establishment than the products.
Do you understand that Starbucks is trying to seem like the neighborhood spot, even though they're fucking like global, even though there's a billion stores? They're trying to seem like your coffee shop. You go in there, write a novel. You go in there for game night on Fridays and play fucking Connect Four with other jack-offs with a goddamn MacBook.
Yeah, have you ever been one of those people to just hang out at Starbucks with your fucking computer laptop?
I've done that at Panera Bread.
Oh, boy.
Which is known
as Panera.
I'm
surprised you say Panera Bread.
I felt bad for you.
You put your foot in your fucking mouth.
I felt bad for you, so I went your way on that.
Nah, you put your foot in your mouth.
Nah, I felt bad. Frank, you got slighted by your favorite barista with the goddamn face piercing.
How do you – like, if you go to a restaurant or a diner and you heard the waitress, you know, cursing to another waitress, that wouldn't make you feel uncomfortable?
At a diner, different story. If I hear a waitress not cursing at a diner – I'm suspect. She's brand new. She's brand new, and she will fuck the order up. When you have a veteran waitress that knows what she's doing, she will be like a fucking truck driver. Every other word she says will be fuck. You'll have a happy fucking waitress. You'll have a fucking coffee and a fucking water. And you'll fucking take your fucking fries to go. That's the deal with the diner waitress.
You're being over the top now.
I'm not being over the top, Frank.
It does not offend you when employees curse.
No, because I curse because I'm a human being.
But you don't. Do you curse at work?
I do.
Other employees.
I do. I don't deliver a speech by saying, "Hey, fuck everybody."
Have you ever used the word "fucking" at work in front of people?
Yes, I have.
In front of. Oh, I see.
Course. But Frank, we do have a code of rules when it comes to restaurants. We've dictated this several times.
Yes, of course.
And you would have thought that I'd never go against this. This is something I was so proud of. We spoke about it on our time on XM. We mentioned it on this show countless times. There's a certain protocol. You never want to upset the help. You never want to upset a waitress or someone bringing you your food.
No, of course
never.
Not.
Well, I broke the rules. Frank. Oh. I broke the rules. We went to breakfast at an establishment known as the Cracker Barrel. Are you familiar with the Cracker Barrel?
I've heard of them, but I've never been there.
They sell shit and large checkers, and then they serve you shit, and you eat it, and then you go home, and your shit looks like large checkers. Everything there goes back to large checkers. But we went to Cracker Barrel, and this is a type of establishment. You don't choose your seat. You are seated. They seat you at a table and assign you a waitress. We were seated at our table, which was in the middle of the fucking restaurant, surrounded by screaming children. The waitress stops by and says, "Hey, I'll be right back." Didn't see her for 10 minutes. Didn't see her. She went away. So we're sitting here. We don't have drinks. We don't have anything. We don't even have fucking place settings. I have a menu, and that's it. That's all I have in my possession at the diner, the menu. We look over, we see a table by the window, in the sun, in a corner. That is a guaranteed two sides of the table with no screaming children. We decide, Frank, we're going to seat ourselves over there. We're going to get up, leave, and go to that table without even asking. So we went over there. The new waitress comes over immediately. Says, "Oh, I guess you're with me now." Very sunny. She says, "What do you want to drink? Coffee? Okay, I'll be right up." Blah, blah, blah. We had coffee in 35 seconds. Old waitress comes by. Gives us the stink eye. Now I think we're in trouble. I think we're in absolute trouble, because it's not like you have a different, you have one, a different waitress. They're not going to be able to get at your food. I'm feeling like I may have been fucked with, but at least I got to eat the food quickly. So I went against it, Frank, and we sat there and we were very, very well taken care of. Good prompt service. But the other waitress never stopped looking at us when we were walking out. She, I guess it wasn't good enough for you guys.
Well, you know what? You should have got there sooner.
Oh, I know. Do you think she fucked with our food, Frank?
If no, she's gonna, I don't think so.
She was miffed. Well, she was absolutely miffed. And here's the deal. I wouldn't have done this if I thought I would be back at that same Cracker Barrel within 6 months. I'm never going to be back at that Cracker Barrel because I don't like Cracker Barrel typically. And I don't find myself there more than once a year. And I would say that 6 months is a good estimate for the expiration date on a slighted waitress. Do you know what I'm talking about, Frank?
No.
A waitress gets slighted by a particular person. She now stores that person in memory for a certain amount of time. Time goes by, she no longer remembers that person. I say, per incident of you pissing off this waitress, you have 6 months of time where she will remember you and she will fuck with your food. If you're not going back to that place in 6 months, it's okay to fuck with her. It's okay to do something that irritates her. If you can, you know, withstand the idea of, okay, maybe you will have something done to your food. Now, you were telling me a little while ago, before the show, about our friend, Erica Durka.
Oh, no, well, yeah, I like to, her real name is Erica.
Okay.
All right.
It is Erica.
And I want to just point out her husband, who goes by the name Walter Sobchak. His real name is Clayton. He does a program on here called Hate Us Talk.
Hate Us Talk. That's hateustalk.tumblr.com.
With Leslie, who goes by Jimmy JJ Walker.
Why, you with the real names. Anyway, continue. You were telling me this, that that she went to an establishment with her husband.
No. Her husband was telling me that she went to an eatery, and she noticed that the waitress looked very sick.
Hmm.
And she said to the waitress, "Are you sick?" And the waitress said, "Yes." And Erica said, "Well, I want a different waitress." And I applaud that. I don't know if I'd have the balls to do that.
Here's the thing. It's the right move, but if you do it wrong or you do the slightest thing wrong with this, you have to be very delicate. You could set that waitress off. And now the very thing you're trying to avoid, you're getting it. Whatever she has, you will get it. It's very easy for her to transfer her disease into your fucking food. And I know I sound like you. I know I sound like the big germaphobe. But Frank, how hard is it to go to cover one nostril and launch a stream into a fucking plate of grits?
It's not difficult at all.
No. What about right into the glass? She could walk by a tray. It's waiting to go out. Oh, what table is that? Oh, 36? Okay. Right into the water. She could palm the plate of pancakes. Take her hand and and then put a print right on top of the food.
I'm going to err on the side of caution and say that she didn't do that. The waitress didn't do that. But I got to give props to Erica for standing up and saying, well, first of all, this shouldn't. If she's sick, she shouldn't be working at touching food. And by the way,
yeah, but she's got to make in the waitress's mindset, she's got to make money. I agree. She should not be there. She shouldn't be around food.
And shame on the boss for letting her be in there.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you.
I had an experience earlier this evening.
Another gay one?
No, I went to a Mexicana restaurant called Baja Fresh. And I noticed
What kind of restaurant?
Mexicano.
What does that mean?
It's the way you say Mexican in Mexican.
So Baja Fresh is a Mexicano restaurant.
Right.
Okay.
And I noticed, I watched an employee cough into her hand.
You know, you saw this. You witnessed this.
I saw an employee cough into her hand.
And hold on. All right. Where was the employee stationed? Because Baja Fresh is like, it's similar to Chipotle and Qdoba. There's an assembly line of Spaniards, and they put your food together. Where was she?
Preparing the food.
She was in the assembly line. She coughed into her
hand. Of course!
Well, what, you know, what did you do? What did you do?
Well, first of all, she coughed in her hand, looked up, and saw me just gazing at her. I could fucking burn.
You gave her the dead eye.
I gave her the worst dead eye in the world.
Nice.
Okay.
And what did she do?
Angry dead eye.
Did she do anything?
She went and washed her hands.
Yes! You have a power now. You can use your disgust and anger.
But she would not have washed her hands if she didn't see me looking at her.
Frank, that's brilliant. You just forced her to go do something. And that something was fuck with your food. But she can't because you're seeing her make it. That's a brilliant move. Stare them down until they go clean themselves. Now, if she didn't do it, if she just kept staring back at you, what would you have done? Would you have said anything to this person?
I wouldn't have said anything.
You wouldn't have said anything. You would have put your dead eye out there just to be fucking just shit on. Completely shit
talk.
On and disrespected.
I'm all talk.
You are all talk. You should be talk. But you're not. You're all I. That's what you were. So she did do it, never, and disaster averted.
Right.
Very good.
And I was happy with myself. And the fact that she, if it wasn't for me, she, and I saved other people from getting sick as well.
But you know what? Shame on you, because you're the one, you told me you had an ear infection. You could probably get some gunk on your fucking fingers or whatever.
Oh, please.
Did you go to the doctor?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, so you're on medicine.
I'm on ear, I had eardrops.
Is it tough for you to go to the doctor being a germaphobe?
It's very tough, because I went to my doctor and, you know, I went into the little room and I'm sitting in there for 10 minutes and I guess the walls are very thin because I could hear the guy in the other room complaining about everything that's wrong with him.
Oh my, you heard everything he was saying.
He's saying that he's coughing up, you know, yellowish, greenish phlegm.
Oh, no.
He's coughing up blood, you know, and I'm saying to myself, I'm getting freaked out here, so I started humming real loud and whistling real loud in order to deafen the sound. I don't want to hear what this guy was talking about.
You did what Beta Sultanfuss did in My Girl. Just to block out the horror, you started singing and humming a song to yourself.
Right.
Very good. So the doctor was in this room.
So
and,
what
and,
happened?
Wait,
Hold on.
Were you in a room waiting for the doctor? Like you were on the table?
Right.
Okay. And
I was
on
the tissue paper.
On the tissue paper, and he was in the next room over.
In the next room, and I knew it was him. And I said to myself, "Well, this guy must be before me." So anyway, I said to myself, "Oh Christ!" So this doctor is with this deathly ill individual. Then he's going to come to me. He's going to be like Typhoid Mary for Christ's sake.
Deathly ill. This is a general practitioner, and you think somebody that's on his fucking deathbed is going there?
So I'm going to have the doctor's going to be like the carrier, and then he's going to come to me. And get me sick, and I have is an ear infection. I have
but
no
he brought,
fever.
You know, doctors sanitize. They wash their hands.
No. Well, let me tell you, I said to myself, I says, please God, when he comes in here, let him wash. There's a sink in these rooms. There's a sink in the way in the rooms there.
Yeah, when the doctor comes in, he goes in over to the sink, washes his hands, shakes the shit off, puts on gloves, and as he's doing this, he's talking to you.
Okay, none of that happened.
What? He just walked in.
God. I said, please God, let him wash his hands. Please let him at least use Purell. Please, God,
please,
God. You
asked whatever deity you believe in to help you, and he turned a deaf, holy ear to you.
Not only that, but he coughed in his own hand!
What?!
He coughed in his own hand!
The doctor coughed in his hand!
Of course!
Did you try staring him down?
No, this was before the...
So you just discovered that recently. So
I'm scared. I'm nervous. He should be washing his hands. Now, do I say something to him? I'm afraid
yes!
I'm gonna say something to him. He's going to inject me with some kind of leopard injection of some sort.
Yeah, right next to the tongue depressors. You pull up the knee hammer thing, the reflex, and there's a vial of leprosy for the bad patient.
Well, I didn't say anything.
What?
See, I was scared.
You were scared.
What do I, a layman, have to tell a doctor who has more education than I do?
So you think he's going to say, yeah, listen, I wash my hands every goddamn day. You think that's what he's going to say to you?
I don't know. But
doctors
but
understand would... fucking nutcases like you. And he'll put on the show, just, okay, shh. Okay, there, good? Okay, great. Tell me your problem.
He should have did that.
I have an ear infection. Okay, here, take these pills. Did he even touch you?
Of course!
He got real close to your face?
He took the thing and put it in my ear, and he put it up my nose.
Did you feel...
And while he was putting it up my nose, he took his hand and put it on my forehead.
Did you... Frank, did you feel his breath on your face?
No, I didn't.
He had to get real close looking in that ear thing. I don't see anything.
And let me tell you something. I don't like doctors' garbage cans that don't have the pedal. I don't like it when they take...
Oh, when it's open?
Right. No.
When it's just an open top.
They have a trap door where you just press the garbage in the door, yeah. And the door revolves up and down like a kitchen door that goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Because what happens is if he's taking somebody's blood or something and he puts the bloody gauze in that little trash can, then the blood is going to get on the revolving door. So every time he puts something in there, blood's going to get on his hand. They should always have a foot pedal garbage can, so he presses the foot pedal, and the lid goes up, and then he puts the stuff in there.
Yeah, but Frank, are you touching the garbage can?
But he is.
Okay. But he Purells, and he does all that other stuff. Now, here's the big problem.
You don't see my point.
Frank, what is the main source of germs in a doctor's office? How do they get in there? Think of this.
Other people.
The other people, okay? And the people go into these rooms, and they sit on what?
Chairs.
They sit on the chairs, and they get into the room, and they sit on...
That
the bench, the table, whatever.
Paper shit.
And it's protected by fucking paper. So right, if you're going to be that paranoid over germs on a garbage can, why are you so fucking secure in germs being prevented... contamination being prevented by this butcher paper.
Well, let me tell you about this butcher paper. When I went in there, it was all wrinkled. And this whore nurse was going to let me sit on the fucking wrinkled paper.
Somebody's ass was already on.
Oh, I can see the fucking ass crack print. I says, oh, somebody was here before. She goes, oh, yeah. And she rips it off and gives me a new one. But that bitch was going to let me sit on there.
It's whore nurse. You called her a whore nurse.
I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with the whole system.
So you saw the ass dent on the paper, and you had to ask her to put new stuff on there.
I didn't ask her. I says, oh, there was somebody in here before me, and obviously she got the hint and then put the fresh paper on.
Then you know what? They didn't change the tips on the ear thing. I'll tell you that. If they didn't do the paper, they probably didn't do the tips.
Well, I saw him take after he was done with me, I saw him, you know, flick it off and
did you ever see him put one on?
I did not.
Oh, but one was on there, right? Oh,
you're making me nervous.
So the procedure is, when you're done, you take the tip and throw it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that the next person comes in, they get a new tip.
Right.
But you never saw him put a tip on there.
Correct.
You had somebody else's tip in your ear.
Oh.
You had you almost had used ass paper. You thought you won the battle, but you had a used ear tip in your ear. No, you know, honestly, what does it matter? Because you already have an ear infection, you know? I mean, what's a little more ear infection in there going to do? What did he give you? He gave you some antibiotics?
You know, he just gave me drops. I don't know what the fuck they
just
are.
He just put drops in there?
Just for drops.
He got a used dropper. He took another used dropper probably right in the ear.
No. I had to get him from the pharmacy, which I waited an hour for, by the way.
You waited at the pharmacy? You didn't just You didn't just say, I'll pick it up later?
No, because I didn't want to have to go back out later, and I just figured I'd just wait for him there.
That's pretty dumb.
Whatever.
So you just sat around a pharmacy and watched people put pills in fucking bottles?
I walked around and looked at the different products and whatnot. Mm.
By the pharmacy? So you saw the...
No, I walked in the... It was a CVS, and it was like a store, and they have different stuff there you could look at, and I walked around.
What was so interesting that you went and looked at stuff? I mean...
I was looking at the different, you know, looking at the different stuff that they have available.
Oh, this is tartar control! Fucking terrible. And then when you get to the doctor, Frank, it was packed, obviously, right? Because you had a guy in the next room, so it had to have been packed. Were you able? Oh, I'm sorry. Don't let me keep you up, you bald fuck.
There was a guy before me. I was the last appointment of the day, so there was just one guy before me.
And you went to the CVS. Did you have any trouble finding a spot?
Well, normal that particular time, no. But I have problems finding spots.
I can't stand a parking lot.
Yeah,
especially after this weekend. Amanda's gotten into coupons or coupons, however the fuck you pronounce. How do you pronounce it, Frank? Once and
when
for all.
When I was a kid, I said coupon. Now I'm an adult and I say coupon.
So you say coupon?
Right.
It just sounds too fucking. It sounds too fucking bad for me.
Well,
coupon.
It's like the word
hey, Frank, coupon. Do you have extra coupon? I can't say it. I say coupon. Coupon. I don't know. People say coupon Q. It doesn't matter. So, I'm tired of the parking lot thing. I'm just done with it. I want to go, and I just park in the very last spot. I don't want to... But whenever I'm with Amanda, she wants to be as close as possible. So we have to go and do the circling. Now we have to look for spots. And that spot's... Oh, wait, no, it's just a small car in there. Oh, okay. Oh, wait, somebody's already calling the spot. Somebody's got their signal on. Oh, wait, this guy's coming. No, he's just pulling back in the spot. It's a fucking nightmare. Parking lots are the worst fucking thing ever. Do you search the lot for a car that's about to leave? Or do you just go to the back?
What I do is I like to play a little game on the people searching for cars myself. What I do is I pretend like I'm going to get into my car, but it's really not my car, and they start following me into the next aisle. And then sometimes I'll get
in my... So you go up to someone's car and they put their signal on. They kick in the park.
And then I just walk away.
I would fumble with the keys and try and then go, oh, that's not my car. And walk on to the next one.
But the thing with that is I always feel like once I get to my car, I feel like I have to rush. Excuse me.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to fucking be so boring.
Listen to me.
You fuck? Maybe you shouldn't be eating Baja Fresh before the show.
Once you get to your car and you know there's somebody waiting for your space, do you feel compelled to rush and hurry the hell up to get it back out and
take
get out
my
of there?
Time? I adjust everything. That's when
do you
I
ever
see
take
somebody
your time
there?
On purpose to be a dick?
Yep. Yep. I adjust the mirrors, the vents, the air conditioner. I got to get the AC perfect. Maybe I reset the trip odometer. Mirrors again.
I have to get out of there very quickly because
you get nervous that this person.
I get nervous, and I pull out very quickly.
And you go out.
Right.
Do you ever fall for your own trick and follow someone to their car because it's cold out and you want to be close or something like that?
I'll do it without them knowing it. I won't make it conspicuous.
I've left spots that I've waited for because I open my door. Maybe the wind takes it. And it door taps the car next to me, and I look, and there's a little mark. So I fucking just peel out of there.
Well,
and
what's embarrassing is sometimes you're waiting for what you think is a crowded parking lot, and you pull in, but then you can't see that it was actually another space available right next to that one, but you couldn't tell.
Yeah. I damaged a car sometimes. I've left a spot I waited for quite a while. I damaged the car, and I just fucking leave and park
somewhere
else. Well,
what happened when I was in 1992. Two, I believe it was. I was working at a supermarket,
Was that the experience?
I was helping another supermarket out. Actually, so this is a different ShopRite.
You were helping another supermarket out?
Yes, yes.
You were a fucking utility ShopRite.
I don't know what the hell I was, but anyway. So.
So this wasn't the experience. The experience.
Yeah. This is a different one, but yet there was.
It's called the experience.
Right, but yet it was also in Edison as well, Route 1. But anyway, I was a kid. You know, I was a young person. I was living with my parents. I had a pretty strict father, and it was his car. And let's just say I pulled in and I got a little too rambunctious, and I hit the person who was parked ahead of me.
So you rammed your dad's car into the person in the spot ahead of you.
I wasn't going 100 miles an hour, maybe like about, 20 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour.
But holy shit, 10 miles. Okay, so you did some damage.
I did a little bit of damage to the car, not to my car, but to the car ahead of me. And I got all panicky. I said, oh shit, my father's going to kick my ass now. So I just pulled out and I went and parked somewhere else. Okay,
so you ditched it, and then nothing went wrong.
But this is what I did. I felt bad for the person, so I sat there, at malls. There's like a sidewalk in the front by the
yeah.
Front.
There's like where people load and unload.
I watched to see whose car that was. And lo and behold,
you just stalked the crime scene.
I was at the scene of the crime. So I just waited for the person to come so I could see what the reaction would be. And unfortunately, it was an elderly lady, and she noticed it right away, and she placed her hand over her face and just started crying and bawling. And I felt awful, but I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't want my father to yell at me or anything. So I just let her. And then she's walking around the parking lot, like dazed, confused, wondering what the fuck's going on, with her hands open real wide, crying. Like, and I felt awful, but I wasn't going to say anything.
So you basically are like a pyro standing in front of a fire that he just set, just jerking off as this fucking old lady just cries about her car and listlessly just looks for whoever might help her. Yeah. And you're just standing there. You knew exactly what happened. You could have said, I'm so sorry. I hit your car. And you just sat there and watched it.
I couldn't because I knew, I didn't want to deal with the whole insurance thing.
Oh,
and it would have been too much. It would have been too stressful.
Did you go over there and offer her help and not saying that you did it?
No, I didn't even do that.
Because then you would have been like Dexter. No. Just involving yourself in your own crimes.
But what I do now is if I park in a parking lot and I park next to a car where there's a dent in that person's car already and it looks like it's a dent caused from somebody's door,
yeah.
I won't park there because I don't want them to think that dent was from me.
Because they'll come out and they'll see your car.
Even though that dent's probably been there for years, my luck, it's new and they're going to think it was from me.
They'll see you're obviously dented an old car and they'll think, oh, this motherfucker doesn't care about his car, but he hits mine. So you don't park there. You go somewhere else.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what I do. If I never hit somebody's car. I'm very careful because I don't want to damage mine. But if the door gets blown open in there and I see a dent or whatever, I'm gone. And similarly, if somebody's car is already damaged, you know, these spots are very small as it is. Somebody's going to come out and either give you a retaliation dent or they're going to assume that you did it, wait for you, and make some big fucking stink. So I don't even bother. I don't even bother. Those are two situations where I will leave the spot that I've waited for. Now, Frank, let me ask you something. You've aged a little bit since this happened with this poor old woman who probably can't afford another car. Probably couldn't afford the damages that you did to her car. It's just me laughing. I'm picturing fucking Betty White running around the ShopRite parking lot and just hands up in the air, not knowing what the hell to do to get help. Have you ever seen somebody hit somebody's car in a parking lot?
I did in when I went to
and you let them slide because
no,
you know
I
what
went
it's
to
like.
Kane University in Union, New Jersey. I did see somebody hits another car, and I tried getting the license plate, but I couldn't get it in time, and I was gonna leave the license plate there.
So you pursued this person?
I didn't pursue him. I pursued him, yeah, but I didn't do it enthusiastically. I did a half-heartedly.
Was this because you were with company and you wanted to look like...
No, because I was already late for my class and I didn't want to. I just wanted to get the. I was just trying to drive close enough to get the guy's license plate, but I wasn't able to get it.
You were out of your car. You got back in your car and tried to follow the guy.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch! You ruined an old lady's fucking retirement. And now you're trying to be a vigilante in the goddamn parking lot.
Listen, whatever.
You're a hypocrite.
Maybe I is.
Maybe you are.
Oh. Hmm. Hey.
Frank, I faked one time in the parking lot when I was a brand new driver. I was having fun with a friend. We were driving, and I pretended as though I was going to sideswipe the man. So I had my steering wheel. I had my hand on top of the steering wheel. And I just slid my hand over it. And the guy freaked the fuck out like I had actually moved the wheel there because it looked pretty convincing. And the guy did a power turn and started following me. And he was screaming curses into his fucking... with the hopes that I'd look into my rear view and see him just completely...
And you were shitting, weren't you?
I was a little bit, a little bit frightened at the idea that this guy would now start following me. He had come into the parking lot with, I guess, the intention of buying groceries or hardware from Home Depot. And now he's suspended all plans to follow me and do I don't know what. Follow me to my house, kick my ass in my driveway or whatever. I'm only 17 years old at this point. So I decide, okay, I'm not going home. I'm just going to drive around until the guy goes away. I took this guy fucking 20 miles out of his fucking way. He still followed me. Eventually, he put both hands up and go, ah, forget it! And just turned around and drove away. And I drove in an additional 10, 15 minutes, and he wasn't
just
there anymore.
The same side.
Yeah, and I took a different way to my house.
Yeah, you were
just
bad.
In case, if I saw that guy in my rear view passing, I would drive by my house, just pretend it wasn't mine. It was a little bit frightening.
Absolutely.
Fuck.
Hey, I was just thinking. When we stopped for gas this morning, I think it was you who put the oil
in. Hey, if you're going to say I didn't put the right kind, then you're wrong. I used W whatever. And besides, motor oil has nothing to do with this accident.
True. But if you can't latch the hood too well, if you don't take the can out, you know, selling waste of space, I swear to God, you're worthless.
I'm sorry about your car, but don't call me worthless. I'm trying my best. I'm not my dad.
That's right. You're not your dad. He can sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves.
Ketchup popsicle?
Yeah, I learned everything I know from him. I didn't have a father. He looked out for me, but you, he was your real dad, and you just took it for granted. Hey, I'm Big Tom's son. He'll fix everything, so I'm allowed to be a moron.
That's it! Get out of the car! It's go time, you and me!
Look, Mommy, the rhino is getting too close to the car.
Him too afraid to get out. He's just a little guy.
That's it, big boy. I'm gonna wail on you. You're gonna regret volunteering for this job, Porky.
Hey, boys and girls, it's Papa Smurf!
You know what? You don't want none of me. Think of it through.
Come on. Give me your best shot. I'll give you a free one. Let me have it. That's it? Come on. You can do better than that. Can't you, Captain Limpwrist? Try again. Hey, everybody. Is there a window open? I feel a draft. I wanted a kiss. I'd have called your mother. That was a good one.
Ah, Prehistoric Forest.
End scene.
Yeah!
Frank, the name of the movie. What was the name of the movie?
That's
Frank?
Tommy Boy, 1995.
Yes, 1995.
Chris Farley, David Spade.
Thank you. Chris Farley and David Spade. Very good. Very good. A very good movie. I'm surprised that you know this movie. Because I want to let you know that the parts of David Spade and Chris Farley were CGI. They were CGI, just like the blue people in Avatar, Frank. Why don't we take, do we have time for a break? Yeah, I guess we do. Real quick break here. It's the DJ News Style Show on Heroes Talk. That's HeroesTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears, Frank, and what?
The place to be.
That's right. The place to be.
The DJ News Style Show will be right back.
Hey, this is Keith from Best in Show Radio. You're listening to the DJ News Style Show. Check out Best in Show Radio every Thursday night at 8 p.m. here on HearUsTalk.com.
So I was thinking of a funny story yesterday of what happened. I was sitting on a bus once about a year ago.
Touching?
I'm in these single seats, right? The single seats, and I'm sitting there. I have this bag, this backpack, and it had like these tassel things on it that I never bothered taking off when somebody gave me the bag because it's like almost like hair, like horse hair or something. It feels like.
I'm gonna go so far as to say creepiest bag ever.
Okay, well, yeah, it was pretty creepy, but it was attached to the zipper. But like, I didn't bother ever taking it off because it was a pain in the ass. So I'm just sitting there playing with it. And anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm like daydreaming, staring out the window, and I'm sitting there like whittling this tassel hair on my fingers, and I keep going back to it, and then all of a sudden it feels like a lot. And I'm thinking, like, what is this? What's going on right here? And I look down, and there's this girl sitting in front of me with long hair that's hanging over the back of the bar, and I'm just sitting here playing with the bottom of her hair.
Is there anything in the world better than being a young lady who gets on a bus than the creepy fat bald dude behind you playing with your hair? What's better than that?
Or just hearing sniffing sounds from the back.
She was She was a young Asian girl, so apparently young Asian girls get their hair played with a lot on the bus.
Yeah, she wanted that seat that bad, right? That's what she got.
Yeah, she ran in, she got that seat. No, you gotta get your hair played with.
Check out Best in Show Radio every Thursday night from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. and the DJ New Style Show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. on HearUsTalk.com or in the Pal Talk Hear Us Talk Radio chat room. Best in Show Radio is proud to be part of the Hear Us Talk Radio Network.
The DJ New Style Show.
I'm DJ New Style, but let's stop for a second. Just call me Ken. We're gonna be friends here, okay? Online e-pals. We'll do what online friends do. We'll post messages to each other. We'll create threads together. Post images, play games. I mean, where else could we do that? Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, Tumblr? No, none of those places. We'll do it on a message board on HearUsTalk.com. Create your little account, make your little name, and meet me there. All you have to do is go to RadioBronzeFans.com. I'll see you there. Thank you.
Welcome to the DJ New Style Show. Bitches.
Oh, welcome back to the DJ New Style Show, DJNewStyleShow.com. Subscribe to our podcast, download everything we've ever done. And don't forget to tune into the fine programming on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, the place to be. Thursday nights, Best in Show. That's 8 to 11 p.m., all times Eastern. And of course, FM Jeff and JMF will be doing their first episode. I thought it was going to be last week, but there were some...
Yeah, he had a little panic attack.
Extenuating circumstances. This will be the first episode of Jeff and JMF's new show. And I'm a little bit excited for it. I'm a little bit now. My excitement, never waning, only growing. So by Friday, I will be the most excited I could possibly be. And the Friday after that, I will be even more excited for the show. That starts at 9 o'clock. All on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. Frank, I got a haircut. Just want to let you know. Yeah, that's what people do when they grow hair. They get haircuts. Do you remember those days?
You got a mall cut, didn't you?
Yes, every single one of them, Frank. Do you remember the days of getting haircuts? Or is that too distant of a memory?
I do remember it. It was probably the first thing I did, you know, by myself. In other words, you know, when you were younger, you'd always go with your mother, your father, or somebody older. But I can remember, you know, just going by myself for a haircut, even in grammar school. You know,
you went on your own. They dropped you off, and that's what you did.
Well, it was in walking distance from my house.
How old were you when you had your first haircut by yourself?
I don't know, maybe like 8 or so.
You think that's a little young to be?
It was within walking distance of my home.
So they didn't even have to know that you were going there.
This was a different world, DJ New Style.
Yeah, apparently a world where dogs can just roam the neighborhood, all ultimately winding up in a fucking swinging Glad bag on the back of a garbage can. So it was a far different world. And by the way, I displayed some evidence that Teddy's alive during the break. I held him up for the camera. And you can see that video also on DJNewStyleShow.com. The videos are linked with the show updates. Yeah, I got a haircut, Frank, and it was a little awkward. I never have the same barber anymore. I would go to the one place in the mall, cheap, just get it done real quick. And this guy was new, I guess, and he was very, very excited about what he had done to my hair. He just cut it. It's not like he did anything, you know, incredible, but he kept looking at the mirror, like holding the mirror up and looking. I go, "Oh, you are a cool dude. You look so cool." Reaching out, tapping people. "Look at this. Look how cool I made him. Look at how cool I made this man. He's a cool dude now. Look, everybody. Movie star in my chair. Cool dude." Kept saying cool, likening me to some kind of a fucking Hollywood star because he shaved the sides of my head and trimmed the top. He gave me the haircut I always have. And now he thinks he's a fucking a rock star, and I don't know.
He's inflating his own ego, I guess.
You think that's what it is?
Of course.
Or is he trying to inflate his tip? And would anybody feel so good about themselves after this man told you that you looked like a cool dude.
Why do you say it like that, this man? Why do you say it like that, the word man?
This man. He's just a guy. He's acting as though he's done some fucking... He's performed a miracle. He didn't. He cut hair. Look how cool I made him look. He is cool dude. I don't know. It was a little awkward to me, Frank.
So what'd you do about it? Did you give him a big tip?
I just said, oh, yeah, thanks. Thanks. Okay. And then he kept tapping people to the next chair. Look, even the customer in the next chair.
Now, when he was doing this, did you start to feel real good about yourself?
No, I was fucking embarrassed. I was slouching down in the chair, like you said when you were with Ed in Avatar, and Ed reached over and put his hand on your knee. I was very embarrassed. And all he did was he took the razor and just...
What did you say?
He didn't do anything more than just take a razor with a number 4 and zoop up and down the side.
Razor, where did he put the razor?
On my head. He fucking cut my hair with a goddamn electric razor.
Are you out of your mind?
What's wrong with the what?
You don't. I stopped. Listen. You don't use a razor on your head because what happens if the person before you had a razor utilized, and he got cut with that razor, and that blood's going to get mixed with your blood now.
Well, maybe now we're blood brothers. Well, maybe his head zit popped on the number 4 fucking attachment, and now we're blood brothers. You really think that's what it is, Frank?
When I went cuckoo back in
for Cocoa late Puffs
in early 90s, I stopped whenever I would get – that's when I still had hair at that point. I would never allow them to use the razor to trim the back or the sides. I would say I'll do it myself at home because I didn't want to utilize the razor because, you know, what happens, if, like I said, if I get cut with the razor and the person before me got cut and his blood gets into mine. Or
whatever. But you had no problem with the scissors.
Well, the scissors, you're less likely to get cut because it's not being grated against your skin, you know, when you're not rubbing it up and down against your direct skin. It's cutting a dead cell, which is your hair.
What about the straight razor?
Well, that's even worse.
Would you believe I had a hair cutter, barber, whatever? It was a woman. Do you still call a woman a barber? I don't know. She was cutting my hair. She took a comb to like fucking get it away from my head and just started chopping it, kind of like with a straight razor. And she did a fucking great job. I really liked the job that she did. And then so I went back and I looked for her. And this time she does the same thing. I think it looks really good. She did a good job. And now she offers to trim my beard. And this has never been... This is something nobody's ever offered me at a barbershop.
Well, that's because nobody ever noticed you really had a beard before.
That's true. That's true, Frank. That's actually a very good one. So she offered to trim my beard. And she does it with the razors and the razor blades. She doesn't use the straight razor for that. But then she whips out the straight razor that she'd been using for my hair to get the skin part. Where there's no hair. And so she... And she hits a little fucking neck zit. And I start bleeding on the fucking blade.
Oh, jeez.
And now blood is pouring. It looks like she slit my fucking neck. And she's... Oh, my... I'm so sorry! I'm so sorry! I'm so sorry! And I'm like, well, you know, get me some fucking paper or something. And I'm thinking, how many times has she fucking done this?
Yes. The guy before you, she did it too.
And I probably... I at that point... I knew what it was like to be you until I realized, okay, I'm going to be fine. And into that day, since that day, Frank, I have been in tip-top shape.
But haven't you lost a lot of weight?
No. I've actually gained since then, Frank. Oh. So, jeers to your theory. Speaking of feeling like you, Frank, I now know what it's like to feel like you with regards to sporting events. Let me explain. Right now, are you aware that the Winter Olympics are going on?
The Winter Olympics being broadcast in Vancouver, British Columbia, and Canada.
Yeah, in the Canada, yes. Just like the Germ Freak on Twitter or DJ Newstyle on Twitter. Because I don't put the in front of my name because I'm not an asshole. Yes, I know all of that, Frank, but people talk about these certain events and they know little details about it and like, oh, what was your favorite? I don't know shit about the fucking Winter Olympics. I don't know shit about a fucking luge or anything like that. I just know that I watched a guy die on fucking CBS. They kept showing the guy from whatever country, I don't know, Georgia or wherever the fuck it was. I don't even know. And they kept showing him bouncing out of the fucking the track. That's all I know about the Olympics. Anytime someone brings it up, I'm like, yeah, a terrible thing with that guy. And they go, oh, and they kept showing it. And that's all I can say. And they're like, oh, well, what's your favorite event? And I have no idea. So I have to make a, oh, my, it's the luge. My favorite event is the luge. And I figure most people don't know about it. That's like you saying, I root for the Saints. Have you ever been locked in a conversation about the Olympics yet?
I have not, no, but I'm sure it will come up soon.
Do you know anything about it?
I mean, I know some of the sports that are in it.
Is it because it's more of a historical thing to you than
no.
like it's not
historical?
Why
no,
why do you know more about that than NFL?
Well, no, I just know what sports. I know some of the sports that are involved with it. I didn't say I knew about the sports individually.
Oh, I'm sorry, you rattled off the...
No, it's just that obviously any sports that involve snow are going to be in the Winter Olympics. A-duh!
How nice of you, Frank. A-duh! You're an asshole.
So any sport that involves snow and ice will be in the Winter Olympics.
Well, they have that one where the skiers shoot fucking guns. I don't even know what that is. If you want to, you know, you want to try to tell me about this, feel free, because I don't know all the events. I saw fucking somebody in the prone position shooting a rifle, and then someone skiing behind him. I'm sorry, it's the biathlon. Sheepy says Sheepy. I get the
oh,
sense
isn't
that
it Sheepy's birthday today?
By the way, happy birthday to
happy
Sheepy.
Birthday.
Happy oh. birthday, Sheepy.
Wow.
Yeah. What?
Nothing.
You're the hold on.
Did you say happy?
I did. I wished him a happy birthday today.
Did you send him a happy birthday on any of the social networks?
I sent him a PM on Pal Talk.
Wow.
I said happy birthday. What?
No, I'm just saying, you know.
Frank, you brought up his birthday. What the fuck is the problem?
Nothing. I'm just.
Do you have a problem with wishing other guys happy birthday? Or anybody for that matter? Do you ever wish anybody a happy birthday?
I do on occasion. You know, I don't know if I'd send a personal text message.
Why? Why not? It's your friend.
It's a little feminine.
It's feminine to wish somebody a happy birthday? It shows that you maybe give a shit about that person if you remember to do it, right?
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing, I think, if someone doesn't wish me a happy birthday.
Do you feel slighted?
No, I don't. I really, really don't. But if someone does, that's a nice thing.
Well, let me ask you a question.
It's not feminine.
On the social networking site called Facebook, there's a thing where it comes up on whose birthday is it of that day or in the next coming week or so. Are you aware of this?
I've seen that, yeah.
Okay. Now, if your birthday was last
July.
Whatever the fuck it was.
July.
Now,
July!
Do you keep track of all the people who said happy birthday to you?
No. To be perfect, no, I don't. I mean... You know, I just don't. I know some people do, but whatever. Yeah, Goatweed is saying in the Heroes Talk chat room, heroestalk.com, it's gay to wish a dude happy birthday, but it's not gay to go to a movie with another guy, share a meal, and split the bill on Valentine's Day. Not gay, right?
Well, point.
Well, points.
Point well taken.
Well, Frank, is that now behind the scenes? We've been talking about an event, your birthday, correct? Your 40th birthday,
the big 40, my friend.
You told me that you wanted to do this. I suggested it to you. You said, "Yeah, that'd be a good idea. We'll do something, and it'll be in the name of my 40th birthday. We'll have a Heroes Talk." Event at wherever in June. And now recently, Frank, you had an issue with that. You said you don't want
people
to come up there.
I'm embarrassed to be the reason why somebody's
you don't want to be the birthday boy.
That's right.
You don't want to be the birthday boy. I say that on June, what is it, 6th? Is that your birthday?
8th,
whatever it is. See, I didn't remember your birthday.
Thank you.
All men. Now, whenever we have the event, it will be for Frank's birthday, and everybody is required to bring one cupcake. And you present it to him, and you say, num, num, num. So you really feel awkward when people wish you a happy birthday. Is that what it is?
No,
Or is it that is it that you feel obligated to now wish them a happy birthday? Because you were asking me if I keep track of this.
Oh, because I'm afraid that like if I forget somebody's birthday, then they're going to be offended because they're going to say to me, "Well, I remembered your birthday."
Hmm.
You know, yeah. I have trouble. Listen, I have trouble remembering my own kids' birthdays. For Christ's sake,
Jesus, you really do?
I have to think about it. I really have to think about it. It's not off. I don't know it off the top of my head. I have to think about it.
Luke's birthday. Go.
Well, it's March 25th.
Kayla.
September 13th.
It took you a lot longer. It took you a lot longer, but the boy, it's like this. The boy.
Well, because no, why? Because his kid's coming up soon, so it's been mentioned recently. So
I see. I see. Well, Frank, I want to let you know tonight is Fat Tuesday, and everybody has a pass. Everybody has a pass on Fat Tuesday, including you. I want to let everybody know the weigh-in will be next week. You have to tune in next week for the DJ New Style Show. We are unable to do a weigh-in today. We will do one next week. Frank has to lose twice as much weight. Fat Tuesday, he gets a pass. That was part of the deal. Frank, I'm sorry. I know you're very excited to do this. You want to track your progress. You didn't want to make a big deal about it. But next week, we will have a weigh-in. This will be the first weigh-in of the Lenten season. Frank, are you going to observe Lent?
Are you going to get ashes tomorrow?
Perhaps I will. Perhaps I will. Are you getting your ashes?
No.
Doesn't matter, Frank. Doesn't matter at all. I think we're going to wrap this up. Let's put the cap on the bottle.
I usually say that. I think it's time to put the cap on the bottle for the show.
Okay. Thank you for listening to episode 244 of the DJ New Style Show. Go to djnewstyleshow.com. Download everything we've ever done. Special thanks to Ken Moorhead, Ed McGrath, Best in Show Radio, Thursday night, Gambit. 8 to 11. Gambit. Thank you very much for promoting us and passing the word around and getting everybody to listen. I really appreciate it. Jeff and JMF, Friday at 9, heroestalk.com. Frank, is there anything at all that you would like to say? Anything at all?
Shut up! You talk to a fucking sign. Now you be quiet. It can pack a real punch. It's sticky, it's sticky. You're not a friend. I'm a scared. Wani, Ken, is there anything you'd like to say?
Yes, you're an asshole. It's a fucking snooze, because that's what I goddamn do. Went to Home Depot, seen a lot of bitches. That's just the Holy Spirit. Fuckface, I want pepper jack cheese. Nah, I'm good. Thanks.
Give it to me. Go suck banana. Fuck you.